Hello again, Survivor fans. It is Ralph and Chris back with another episode of Tribal Council, your one-stop shop for recap, strategy, snark, and tangential information.
Yes, plugging random NBC television shows. which, by the way, did you see who's hosting SNL this week?
Lindsay Lohan?
Lindsay Lohan. Can we just cross our fingers and hope for a reenactment of the Mickey Mouse? The Walt Disney Debbie Downer. I mean, they obviously would have to bring back Fred Armisen's the only guy in that sketch that's still in the cast.
Correct. Rachel Dratch, Jimmy Fallon, Horatio Sands.
There's one other one. Oh, Amy Poehler as well.
Amy Poehler, but she really did not.
Right. She's just the mom.
Right. Right. You mostly just need Jimmy and Horatio there to laugh at.
And Rachel
whatever
Dratch.
And, of course, Rachel Dratch.
Yes.
Let's not forget.
Indeed. She's just slightly key to the scene.
This is the third episode of the 24th season. I believe this one is subtitled Stuck in Samoa? Is that what they call this one?
Stuck in Samoa, exactly. Actually, well, I was thinking about that. You know, we see the torrential downpour in this episode, and it sort of reminded me, they've actually, I guess, been fairly lucky, you know, because their first season in Samoa, the introduction to Russell season, there was another torrential downpour episode. I remember the picture of, I think his name was Eric, the guy with the sort of shaved head, and the beard. I have this picture in my head of him like huddling in like a part of a hollowed out tree or something like that, just because it was the best shelter he could get from, you know, the rain that was going on for like 36 straight hours or something like that.
And wasn't it the Samoan rain that caused Kelly Purple and the other girl to quit?
Oh, it might Nyanka. Have been, yeah. So that was in, what was that one called? Was that Survivor South Pacific? No, that wasn't South Pacific. South Pacific was last season.
Samoa 4.
That was, no, what was that one called? I don't remember. That was the one right before. That wasn't in Samoa. That was it Nicaragua?
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm 99% sure that was before. That was before Russell, because that was when Jimmy Johnson was on.
Let's hope we don't get a repeat of that. There's nothing less climactic than people walking off a game of their own accord.
Yeah, it looked like Chelsea might have gotten close a little bit there. I mean, maybe not right then, but you know, if that had gone on for another day or two, we might have seen Chelsea break.
She's not the first one I would have expected to break.
Right.
You know, we've seen people who come from very sheltered backgrounds, city girls like Alicia from Chicago.
Yep.
She didn't seem to have too much of an issue with it. Monica seems very pampered, and she didn't complain about it. But
Monica seems pampered. I mean, we know she's probably lived a fairly comfortable life because she's the wife of an NFL player, but I've never gotten a pampered air from her.
Never seems entitled or anything like that, but
I would put Kat on that list before Monica.
Chelsea would not be the first choice. Speaking of Chelsea,
yes.
Chris and I did some back research on my selections for horse for each particular season of the podcast, and trend has arisen.
Yes.
I'm sure the more astute listeners have caught on.
Ralph's pretty good at going for eye candy. Let's just put it that way.
When you define horse, do you mean player I most want to come home to at the end of the game?
Right.
Or
yeah. Person I'd most like to watch Survivor with. Share a couch with. Get under a blanket.
So last season it was Elise, and she was the beautiful multiracial, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pageant winner.
That cozied up to Ozzy.
Correct. And the season before it was Ashley.
And actually I saw Ralph working on his tree climbing to try to win over Elise after the show was over.
I guess I should have also gotten some ridiculous chest tattoo to get the blonde country singers of the world.
Oh right, that's what was the guy's? I don't remember that guy's name. But Whitney went for him. I mean, you said they actually ended up dating afterwards, right?
Right, yes. And she was married at the time.
Right.
Which caused...
Was he with a T? No. Troy? Keith. I want to say Troy. Oh, Keith. That's right. Yes, Keith. Yes. Giant okay. Compass Rose or something there.
Yeah, yes. And I think Hawaiian Islands were involved.
Oh, okay.
So, to combat their rainy situation, the girls tough out the night, again, to their credit. I'm not sure that I could have withstood, you know, a night like that.
Sure.
And they are invited into the men's shelter by Troyzan and Colton.
Oh, it was Troyzan? Oh, I thought it was Jonas. Who cares?
Jonas was involved later on.
Minor detail.
I want to say. But yeah, it is a minor detail. And Matt points out early on that, like, you know, all of this is kind of BS unless they're getting something in return, which I agree with. Yeah. Like, you know, the phrase, no good deed goes unpunished.
Right.
Is like, that's like survivor lore at this point. So,
Well,
you never want to do anything unless there's something in it for you because it'll always come back against you because you give away advantages and it comes back.
Exactly.
That's how it's
give
been.
Them an inch, they'll take a mile. And it's good. The important detail out of all that is that it wasn't Colton by himself. At first, when it first happened, I thought it was Colton by himself, and I was like, "Oh, geez, he's going to start digging this hole again." Which is really funny because it seems to end up getting him in trouble with both tribes when he starts gravitating towards
the guys are like, "What are you doing?" The girls are like, "What do you want?"
Right, exactly. It's he's not currying any favor with anybody.
No, and rightly so. The girls have their reasons to be defensive. It's like, you know, you're not on my team, but you're trying to act like I can't support that.
Yeah.
Skipping to the reward challenge, we have a little more of the rain fire stuff. But first, we have a reward challenge. Mm-hmm. It's a memory challenge. Memorize the position of 6 to 8 objects. Pull a lever and drop the cover, the girls walk. 5-0.
Yeah, that was an impressive defeat there.
I think that's one of those, like, you know, lean bellies are, like, super motivated. You know, the guys are coasting on 3 wins.
Oh, okay.
There had to be just a sense of, like, losing is not an option for the girls.
Right.
Here's
the thing. This has nothing to do with the way the challenge played in terms of the teams. I don't like this challenge's setup. It was very weird. This lever pull did not make any sense.
And it was to the advantage of the guy who's like pulling away. It's like if you kind of like drift away from the lever,
right? Then you can let the other person pull, and then you take off, and now you've got a 3-step head start. It made no sense.
Right.
The person who pulls the lever should be given some sort of an advantage, I think.
Like, you should be first regardless, you know, like you should be able to take all the time you want. And then,
yeah, I like that. Yeah, that would have been something, that or I was going to say, you know, if you pull the lever first, you only, you're allowed one error, you know, like one piece that's incorrect or one piece that's just missing that should have been there, something like that. Yeah, the lever pull thing was very odd. They need to workshop that one just a little bit more because, as we pointed out, the guys just started not that it helped them at all, but the guys started just drifting back, and it didn't seem to bother Jeff at all. That I mean, I guess at that point, can open worms everywhere. So,
honestly, I don't have a whole lot. Again, the appeal of the challenge is limited.
Right.
I liked the comical music over Cat and Troy's. 7 to 10 attempts.
That was that was funny. That was very good.
That was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Okay. So back at camp, the girls are trying to get their fish together. Chelsea's literally falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
She breaks down at one point. They all kind of head over, and at some point they're negotiating for fire, but no one wants to make a deal because apparently the group of girls has to decide.
Well,
whether or not the canoe is going to be in play.
It's actually a pretty smart move on the girls' part that they do this piecemeal thing where only two of them go over at a time. And they just, they have this plausible deniability every time the guys try to start negotiating with them. Oh, well, I can't sign off on anything on my own. I got to talk to the tribe, And so, I mean, where was the guy that stood up and said, okay, go get all of your freaking girls, bring them over here, and let's figure this thing out.
Tarzan attempted to do that.
Yeah.
He attempted to do that, and mostly he just came off old and crusty.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you're right in the sense that, like, the girls definitely kind of got the edge on them. There's a weird thing happening in my head right now, Chris. I'm like, and it happened during the episode where I'm finding myself sympathizing with the men. Maybe because I'm male, but maybe because
they're getting the wool pulled over their eyes.
Yeah, they're getting worked, and so I don't want to see them.
Yeah,
they're buying these ladies
drinks all damn night.
And so Jay hands over an ember without getting any sort of security that, like,
right,
the boat will be theirs to use.
Right. And then, well, my favorite was Colton in one of the confessionals goes off on one of the rants, like every one of them was about how, you know, I love the girls, but, you know, this is bullshit. You know, we need to be getting something in return for all this. You know, what have those girls done? What have those girls done for us? Colton, I'm not sure. Do you have a hidden immunity idol in your pocket? Where did you get that now? I can't remember, Colton.
I thought you were going to hit on his Republican comment about not wanting to do handouts, which I thought was clever.
Not wanting to what?
Not wanting to give away handouts as a Republican.
Oh, that's pretty good, too. I didn't think of that. Is he a Republican? I don't know.
Yes, that was one of the things that Jeff introduced. That he's like this University of Alabama, flamingly homosexual, but staunchly Republican.
Oh.
You know.
Interesting.
Person. Which I've always wondered about the...
A seeming contradiction unto himself.
Yes. It's a walking contradiction like a starburst.
What? Well, how is a starburst a walking contradiction?
It's their whole ad.
What?
It's their whole ad campaign. The Asian Scottish guy, the zombie, I don't know.
Oh, because they got those ones that's like there's two flavors in them or something like that?
Yeah. If it's a reference you're not going to get, we don't need to linger on it. But...
Candy's
I will
gotten
say,
too complicated.
I will say, you know, it's amazing that someone can be so, you know, loyally tied to a party that would never approve of his idea of love.
Well, he sort of acted this out in microcosm in the episode today, right? Like, he loves the girls, he's all about the girls, that's who he relates to, but, like, at the end of the day, when it comes down to fire and using the boat and all that stuff, he's with the guys, you know what I mean? It's another, yeah, you know, very...
You know, just a brief fast forward, and we're famous for doing this, but what did you make of Jeff's ridiculous, that's a double dare, duh, back in your face?
That was pretty weak on Jeff's part.
It was weak, and I was like...
Also weak is referring to anything on our show as famous.
Ouch. Dude, I'm right here, man. Coming, like, right at me.
I'm just saying, man. I want the listeners at home to know, the second you said that, I got my air quotes up as fast as I could. I mean...
Fame, I accept it. I accept that.
Fame, and this fame is certainly fleeting. No offense to our 60 listeners. If we have even that many.
Hey,
that might just be one guy's computer that has a virus.
It's actually our parents, Chris.
Oh, is that it? If your parents can download this podcast, I'm impressed. My dad probably can. My mom, it would involve a conversation just explaining to her what a podcast is, and then figuring out how to get internet service to the outer reaches of rural Alaska. I mean, she's 150 miles outside of Anchorage, so...
Do you remember when SOPA and PIPA were a thing?
Yeah, yeah.
There was, like, this huge, like, banner underneath, like, the Google search box that's, like, their homepage, and it said, like, the government is, like, shutting down the internet. And, like, they're like, Ralph, the internet's not working. I'm like, what's wrong? They're like, well, we open up the Mozilla, because
I
got the
new
Firefox.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, we open up this Mozilla... And it says, the government shut down the internet. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's funny.
I couldn't believe it. It was like, oh my god. You gotta be kidding.
You know, I have to say, I'm a little bit ashamed. I mean, I was a computer science major in college. I was a web developer as a career for somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 years of full-time. And I certainly still make a mild hobby of it on the side. And my dad beat me onto Twitter.
What?
Yeah, my he'll turn 61 this year. 61-year-old dad beat me onto Twitter. Has a more regularly updated blog than I do. Of course, that's not saying much. I have about 8 posts in about 10 years. So
I started, I think, 2 or 3 different blogs that have gotten a first post and then.
Oh yeah, ditto. Yeah,
vaporized.
Yeah, those 8 posts are spread out over at least 3 blogs. Although I guess this podcast makes up for it, right?
Your internet presence is growing. All right, so let's go ahead to the immunity challenge.
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
What's next.
So, you know, it's your flavor, the collar and the blindfolds. And maybe they were filming it weird, but it looked like they were just going around every obstacle. Or is it just like the different pieces are in like different little branches?
Yeah, I think it was just sort of like some places
obstacles.
It was sort of laid out where there were a few things you had to go over to get to each of them.
Okay. But you didn't have to go through all of them.
There was a central channel of without obstacles that you could use to get to, you know,
that was
to
not
the neighborhood of the different.
Would it kill them to get like
buckets?
Just a couple cheap graphics showing like the layout of how this thing works? You know,
what is this, the Masters? You want a flyover of the hole before
like
they play it?
You know, like an American Gladiators ish. You know, like a little like Mike. What's his name?
What?
He's explaining the challenge on the course.
The guy at the guy from American Gladiators?
Yeah,
I can't remember the referee.
I can't remember his name.
One
of the comments.
I did know his name back when I used to watch that. But you know, contestants ready, gladiators ready. This is what was it? Stratosphere? Atlasphere? That's what it was. Atlasphere and Powerball.
Gauntlet.
The Gauntlet was kind of a dumb one.
Breakthrough and Conquer.
No.
Yeah, it was Breakthrough and Conquer.
Breakthrough and Conquer?
Yeah, it was the football field and the wrestling ring.
Oh. Yeah, I remember that one now, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love the, was it the, it wasn't the Eliminator. The one where they had the 4 different weapons that they fired at the gladiator, the target.
That was the Gauntlet.
Oh, that was the Gauntlet?
Oh, Assault. Was it Assault?
That was Assault, I think. That was Assault. Gauntlet was the one where they had that just little like, it looked like a riverbed or something like that they were standing in. And, it had walls on the side so you couldn't go all the way around somebody. And they each of the gladiators had one of those, some different, like, pogo, pugil stick? Pugil stick or, like, boxing gloves or something like that. You know, they each had a slightly different one that they could use to just, like, beat the snot out of the contestant while they tried to go by. But invariably, the last guy always, like, pinned him until, like, 5 seconds left and then let him go through.
So, Survivor. I hate that I have to be the one to, like, throw, cold water on the party. Even though I'm usually the one that, like, leads us down the path.
Yeah,
okay, so my whole, like, frustration with the girls' team and rooting for the guys' team totally comes back to this competition because, you know, Bill does a great job. He gets all the guys back. Sabrina's a mess.
Yeah.
And then he gets, like, a four or five puzzle pieces in, and, like, the minute Sabrina gets those puzzle pieces, the girls are telling her exactly what Bill did.
Yes, yes.
Which, and it's like...
My immediate thought was, and eventually I saw the layout there and noticed that it would not be as easy as I had originally wanted to do if I were there, but my immediate thought was, the guys should be standing in a fashion to do their best job they can to block the girl's vision of the puzzle. You know, they can't do anything about Sabrina because they're behind that fence or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And originally I was saying, like, they should just completely encircle so that they, shield the puzzle away, but they can't get around in between. But at the very least, they can shield everybody else away by standing more towards the middle. They're tall, they're big. I mean, that would have been a huge help because otherwise, you know, the second Bill gets hung up on a piece, you know, the girls come roaring back because they're just pointing at the pieces and telling them where to go. The other strategy idea that occurred to me while I was watching it is, as Bill was playing with one of the pieces, he's got the like three more pieces just sitting on the table right in front of him, and the guys have no idea what those look like. And if you put them down on the floor, you know, the other guys can see them and maybe start, you know, looking at that, see where they can go, be able to give some better pointers, you know.
I don't know that I agree with that strategy, just because of the ambiguousness of the shapes.
That's true. That's true.
And the irregularity of them.
Yeah, this isn't a traditional puzzle.
It was a much more challenging puzzle than it appeared on face value.
Indeed.
So I'm not gonna play on Bill. I think Bill.
Oh no, it's not. Oh no, I don't think it's on Bill ultimately. I think it's on the guys.
My first gut reaction was, oh, I feel terrible for him because he did a great job with calling.
Yep.
He did a really solid job with the puzzle, but the girls just took advantage of.
Well, the girls'
ability to catch up.
The girls communicated better.
They did a great job communicating.
In that portion, they did a great job. Yes.
Usually, like the whole thing devolves into screaming,
right?
And being like, "No, no, no! Do this, not that!" And
right.
The girls were so calm.
Mm-hmm.
Their voices were so low, and like, you know, just like you could see that Sabrina was totally taking it and doing everything that she needed to do. So,
well, and it seemed. Go ahead. Sorry.
All credit to the girls for working well together.
Yeah.
But
well, and
it came at the expense, taking the advantage of the work that Bill did.
Yeah, it seemed like they were doing a little bit of what I was saying there, where like they like each of them sort of took a piece to focus on, because like one piece would adjust, like literally one piece is getting put in, and the next one she picks up, somebody else was chiming in right away, like, hey, that's gonna fit nicely, you know, on your left, where, you know, top side, whatever. But yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, this is not like a traditional puzzle piece situation where it's easy to see which pieces are going to fit where. You know, the sort of, what was it, like a bonsai tree sort of look they had going there definitely made it difficult to tell what was an outer edge and what was an edge that was going to fit with another edge.
At the very least, couldn't they have, like, mirror-imaged the trees? Just that, like, they weren't looking at exactly the same thing?
Maybe.
The pieces would have worked the same.
I don't recall. Were the colors the same?
No, the boys had like a red and orange, and the girls had like a blue and purple.
But were they? But the were the? But was the alternation of the colors the same?
I can't recall.
Because that's another thing that helps there. If you make all of the pieces uniform colored, that helps prevent the cheating a little bit. I shouldn't call it cheating because it wasn't against the rules. But
no, it wasn't against the rules. But at the same time, again, I felt terrible for Bill.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree, because he did a great job on that calling there, and the girls were hilarious to watch. You know, with I think it was Monica. I mean, Monica's out there. She's like, she thinks she's standing next to one of the water towers, and just has her arms up, just grasping at things, and she's minimum 15 feet away from the nearest water tower. And it's just,
and then she like,
it's just
she's like, "You want me to go over this fence?" And she's like, "No," and then she steps over the fence.
Should I wander off into the wilderness? It's a great challenge, because and actually, this one actually didn't play out as well as they sometimes do. You know, this one there was not much in the way of finger pointing after the challenge, the way there can be for this kind of a challenge. But at the very least, it did provide, you know, a bit of comic relief as the girls were just, you know. Just wandering around like, you know, chickens with their heads cut off, which, you know, to some extent you can't blame them. They got blindfolds on, and that's not an easy thing to do there, but it still provides nice entertainment.
At the end of the challenge, and I want to know your opinion on this.
Oh, by the way,
sure...
did you notice Jeff was wearing a black shirt?
I did not.
Yes, the second they cut to him when they came into the challenge, like, whoa, black shirt, Jeff, where did that come from? And then I started looking real close, like, wait, is that navy blue? That might be navy blue.
Is it a midnight?
A midnight blue? It's like talking to Jeff about shirts that aren't blue. Shout out to
Cochran.
Man Cochran.
Oh, there was a Cochran Colton beef.
What? We have cross-season beef already?
Yeah, no. There was some, like, Cochran made some sort of comment about how Colton...
was a super
like,
fan.
He sent a tweet to Colton's Twitter. It's like, oh, you don't have to feel bad about being a poor man's Cochran. That's what he said. And of course, like, Colton would never shy away from that. He's like, you know, female dog, please. I am a poor man's nothing. It was like a little back and forth beef. Anyways.
That's great. I like that. The survivor super fans, the guys who couldn't fit in with their tribe. You would think these are the people who should be like banding together.
No.
Against the social elite of the world, and instead they're going
each other's
stuff.
I want them to both think they're right.
Ultimately, yeah. No, that's good. It's good stuff.
And how certain were you that Matt was going home when he said, "You know, I can't wait to exercise some of this power."
I know. That was so good. I mean, the producer saw that in the dailies, I'm sure they were like, "Oh, please vote him off tonight. Please vote him off tonight."
And as soon as we cut out of the little talking head from Matt, and then like they're walking back to camp, the boys are about to like scramble for tribal. You know, they cut to, and I don't want to say this company's name because I don't want to endorse it at all, but there's a phone company very closely associated with Survivor, and they have this vote for Player of the Week, and they put three faces up there, and you know none of them are going home, it just spoils the party.
Is it race? No, is it dash? Is it run fast? No, what's the name of it?
No. Do not encourage this. We will not give them any free publicity. But
I'm telling you, man, we gotta just start.
How do I avoid that, Chris? How do I not get the results spoiled by this stupid Player of the Week thing?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I didn't even. Yeah, I was too busy.
There was a time when they threw everyone up there, where there was just like a bunch of faces up there, or Player of the Week happened after the vote.
Wait. So what did they come on with? Sorry, I was too busy trying to make jokes about Sprint.
They came on with Troy, Colton, and Sabrina.
Troy, Colton, and Sabrina were the three.
Vote for your Player of the Week.
And when did they bring that up?
Right after the immunity challenge.
Okay.
When Troy had yet to do anything.
Oh, he still hasn't done anything.
No, I mean, well, he was involved with talks with Matt. That's all. Matt thought he could get Troy on his side, so, and Troy just allowed him to think that.
So you're saying you want them to do the Player of the Week and flash all 18 names up there, or at this point,
yes.
16 names up there?
Yes. Flash everyone who's left in the game up there.
Yeah. I'm not even paying attention to that.
I can't be the only one who that it pops up immediately after the challenge. You can't avoid it. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Not something
I mean,
you can fast forward.
I have seen
through.
It in the past, and definitely know. Like, I've definitely had moments in past seasons where that flashes up there, and part of me goes like, "What the hell is that face doing up there?" Like, he is not one of the three most significant people in this episode. Which usually, you're right, leads to some sort of it ends up being a teaser of what's to come. So I guess what you're saying is at the very least. So what was it? What were the three choices you said?
Troy,
Colton, and Sabrina.
Sabrina.
And so did you feel like the flashing of Troy and Colton makes it obvious that Troy and Colton are not going home?
Yeah, I know. It's going to be from the power from the muscle alliance.
What are you playing games in there? Is that what did I just hear?
Don't you worry. Young man, okay.
For all I know,
that's what it was.
You're just dropping D20s over there while you're playing. who knows? Agriculture or whatever the hell that game is. I don't know.
It was Agricola. Thank you.
Agricola. All my board game geeks out there. I was way off by picking a real word.
Holler at me.
No, I get what you're saying, and I do sort of agree with you.
I throw it out there just to get some sympathy from those who are listening, you know, like it's just this thing, it's just this bug in my ear. I wish they wouldn't flash it up there unless they're going to put every single person up there.
Yeah, no, you're right. Or maybe
all of the men's tribe, at least so that, like, we don't spoil who's going to go home.
Right. Or do all of the women's tribe when you know none of them are going home. You know, so you're picking, like, you know, whoever performed best in the challenge.
Oh, I see. Like, don't even give him. No. The Player of the Week's going to be someone on the losing team.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because they're going to, like, make things happen.
I guess.
Clearly.
I don't know. I mean, it's like picking the game MVP from the losing team at the
we come back
All-Star
from break.
Game or something.
We come back from break, and the guys are talking, and it's the Misfits, which is a great group.
Yeah.
It's a good name for the group. So it's Colton, Jonas, Leaf, Troy, and Tarzan.
Wasn't that the rival band of Jem and the Holograms?
It was. I believe you're right about that.
The best was that. I could see your reaction in the Skype video here, and I saw this guilty pleasure look on your face, like, oh god,
my
I have to admit
sister,
that I actually know
Chris,
that's true.
I had a sister who was way into Jem. I certainly didn't partake of a courageous story of a girl who used an earring to become.
I was going to just try to bait you into correcting me. I was going to bait you with like a necklace and have you correct me on the earring, and I didn't even have to do it. That was fantastic.
You know, this is a complete tangent, but Chris, you of all people enjoys getting truth out as opposed to fiction, but I overhear conversations between people and they say wrong things and it drives me crazy, and I don't know how you resist the like telling two people who you're not involved in the conversation with, like, clearly you have it wrong. And you know how to push that button on me by saying the necklace or whatever it was. But, like, I'm hearing these guys talk about, like, Joe Flacco and, like, Delaware and, like, oh, yeah, he went to Louisville before that when he clearly went to Pitt before he went to Delaware. Like,
clearly.
It was just a conversation I overheard at breakfast the other day, and it was like, I was like, I wish Chris was here because he would understand my desire to just interrupt this conversation between two strangers.
Now I'm actually a little bit disappointed that you robbed me of the opportunity to try to bait you with a necklace comment.
I'd have taken that bait.
Oh, that would have been so awesome.
I'd have taken that.
Oh, listeners, I'll get him. Don't worry, I'll get him.
So,
if I could just get him to not get himself.
So Jay walks up, and I don't know how the five of them stuck around that long. I mean, you would have thought if they were trying to be, you know, in any way clandestine about it.
I just love the general ad-libbing talent that Survivor contestants always exhibit in these situations. I mean, it happens all the time, and it's just amazing how, like, I mean, it's pin drop stuff out there. I mean, harken back to the old school Sprint commercials right there.
Don't you ever say that again.
I mean, it's hilarious. They stop talking and nobody can think of anything to say. Like, start talking about, like, the challenge. If I go on Survivor, one of the things I'm going to do...
If someone walks up, just start saying coconuts and fish. Coconuts, fish, you know, the usual,
yeah.
Rice.
One of the things I'm going to do, if I make it onto the show, which I think it's official now, I'm not. I got about, 36 minutes before I think they have to call me. I think it was literally the end of February they would contact people. So
February,
exactly. But if I somehow make it on that show, anytime I go into a strategy talk, before I even start the strategy talk, I'm gonna spend about 30 seconds just like reminding myself of a few dummy topics to talk about when I get stumbled upon by the wrong person, you know. Let's see, boat drama, girls suck because they steal our fire, you know, that sort of thing. Like, get a few topics ready so that when the wrong guy walks over, it's not the hush over the crowd here.
Or Tarzan being like, yeah, we're talking strategy.
Right. Well, when Jay, and that's the irony about it all, is that when Jay came over, they all go silent, and they didn't even need to because Jay wasn't one of the people they were talking about. But when Matt comes over, one of the people they were talking about voting off, suddenly Tarzan decides to be Mr. Open Book about it all. And Tarzan is trying to take Alicia's title away from her of the mental midget of the island.
You know, but I just don't expect... He didn't seem like the kind who would be very good at being subtle or crafty or manipulative. Like, that just doesn't seem like that's his book.
I don't worry. You don't have to be manipulative, but, like, aren't old people supposed to know all of the tricks, the, like, you know, whatever that silly Confucius saying is, you know, the... better to be a fool and no one know it than or what is, it's something like Better be a fool and say nothing and have nobody, say nothing, have everybody assume you're a fool, than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I think that's
okay,
the saying.
Okay, you got there.
I got there. It only took me about, 35, 40 seconds, before I got on track. But, old people are supposed to know this sort of stuff. Sit back, absorb it. I thought this was what age does for you. It teaches you patience, right? Like, Tarzan can't wait to tell everybody about stuff,
It seems like Colton should really be the one to open up there and be able to, to redirect the conversation away from what it is exactly that they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the way to go. It's like, don't answer the question, just redirect, go a different direction with that question. Don't answer it directly.
Yeah.
Don't actually say what you're going to talk about, because then you have to, justify what it is exactly that you're talking about. Yeah. So Matt, pulls Troy aside, who I've never seen him talk to before.
Right!
And he concocts this rooster chicken-based plan, which we've never heard of before on this game show.
Right.
And
are the girls
it was the most... You know what it was? It was totally Alpha Beta, Revenge of the Nerds. He totally has this idea in his head that, just because he's beefy and handsome, that, clearly people would want to ride with
him. Right, exactly. That people will follow him to anywhere he wants to go.
And I just like that Troy did the smart thing for once and just let him run.
Let him run his mouth, nod your head and smile, tell him what he wants to hear, and then walk away and say, that guy's nuts. Troy saw the writing on the wall before Matt ever came over to him, so that was well played on Troy's part, although I would say, at least the majority of Survivor contestants probably could have pulled that off or would have been wise enough to pull that off.
I just appreciate common sense prevailing. The flaw in Matt's plan, I think in some seasons he would have been fine, but the flaw in Matt's plan is that with it being men versus women, strength is never going to be the deciding factor in a challenge. They're not going to design it that way.
Likely.
So why should his presence be anything necessary towards winning challenges?
Well, and on top of it, even if strength is a factor, that's not a concern for the guys. Even if they have a strength challenge, the five misfits ought to be able to hang with the five best girls,
Yeah.
Like Leaf, Tarzan, Troyzan, Jonas, and Colton, they certainly have a puncher's chance.
The two oldest guys are in amazing shape.
Yeah. Well,
Troy and Tarzan, they're in great shape.
Is Tarzan in that good shape? I don't know. I haven't been paying that close attention.
Look at his bio picture on CBS. Man, that guy has pecs. they are solid.
All right.
I almost picked him.
I was just gonna say, is this a change in the tides for next season? You gonna start going for beefcake? The one thing I was somewhat impressed by, and maybe this is just because I had low expectations, but was Jay's ability to try to go chameleon.
You were impressed?
I mean, not highly impressed, but at least he exceeded my expectations. His voice just adds to the male model stereotype that I apply to him, that he's going to end up being an airhead. And he managed to not employ airhead strategy there. He, the writing was on the wall, and he said, he did the right thing. He's like, go with the flow, don't agitate, and, this at least, if I vote with Team Abercrombie, then the writing's on the wall for me as well.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why I brought up in our brief production discussion today. That's right. It happened.
Yeah.
That I wanted to talk about the direction of the men's tribe after the results of today. It seems like the situation is fluid. I don't believe that the misfits are necessarily going to stay together.
I agree.
There was a reaction to the alliance constructed by Matt, which was the right thing. But I think if Jay and I guess who is Jay most closely aligned with? Bill?
I don't know that there's anything close there, but all three of Jay, Mike, and Bill I think have a good chance of finding cracks in this in that alliance.
Well, I don't know that Mike does necessarily, because Mike was definitely out of the loop. You know, Jay and Bill voted Matt. They voted with the Misfits, and Mike voted Bill.
Right.
And Matt voted Colton. So those are the only two dissenting votes.
Which is kind of funny because, I mean, he didn't even stick with his boy there, right? Like, he was just sort of floundering. You're right. So he probably had the least.
Surprisingly, though, given the video clips we saw this week, Bill is the biggest bro. Like, you look at those other three guys, you would say, okay, like, one of those three is clearly the biggest bro. And Bill was so bro.
You know what I think it is? How old is Bill? Do you know? I think, you know, Bill.
He's
28. Wow. The way he was acting there, I would have put him on 23 tops. 23 tops. More likely 21 or 22.
He's like, yo, Probst, man. This is amazing.
Yeah, he's got like frat.
I can't wait. I'm so hype.
Yeah, he's got like frat house president written all over him.
Social chair.
Yeah, or social chair. Yeah, that's even better. Yeah, I wasn't in a frat, so I don't really know what the positions are. So I went with.
You've seen Animal House. Stop it.
Actually, I haven't. I own it. I haven't seen it.
I'm going to resist the, what is the word? Incredulity reaction. I'm going to try to skip that.
What? Oh, the
reaction of incredulousness.
Yeah. I do like Bill's enthusiasm. I mean, he is entertaining, if nothing else, especially at Tribal Council. Like he was just amped to be there. Like, wow, I'm in Tribal Council. Like, it was like he had sort of like a Cochrane moment there, you know?
I can't wait to see what's going on.
I'm here. Exactly. I can't wait to watch this when I get home, find out who gets voted off. Like, I'm not going to find out in about 15 minutes here. You know? I mean,
what was it Tarzan won in the other two votes?
Like I said, Tarzan competing for the Mental Midget Award. I
mean, yeah, but it's not like, it's not in a bad way. It's in an endearing way.
Yes. That's,
in my mind.
Yes, I'll agree with you. Like, he's just sort of like, yeah, he just sort of is like the old guy.
There. Like, Alicia resorts to tactics like, oh, I would punch her if we were in the city. And I'm like, come on.
Yes.
You know, whereas Greg's like, hey, Jeff, what's on the other ones?
Jeff, can I say something? Can we see the others?
Do they also say Matt?
Do you think if they had the opportunity to build some drama on this vote, they'd have done it? Maybe? Like, there are television cameras around for a reason. Like, they're not just filming this so that, like, if something goes wrong later on, they can go back to instant replay and find out who voted for who.
What do you think of
the parchments catch fire?
What do you think of Colton telling the other four meatheads that he's got the hidden immunity idol?
That's dumb. It was bad enough that he told his entire alliance. He didn't even need to tell the Misfit alliance, let alone them.
But he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who can keep his mouth shut.
Oh, well, yeah. That's
also... Like Russell. Russell had to tell people. He had to tell someone.
Russell didn't tell people, though. He told, like, two people. Like, he was smart about it. He knew what he was doing. Please. Like, you're comparing Colton to Russell?
Well, again, as the villain, as the appointed villain on the season, you know, it all goes back to... To Russ.
That's
you're right. It was a poorly thought out point.
Colton's more comparable to Coach than he is to Russell. It's like the believing it's the believing your own hype delusion villain, not the like I actually am as good as my own hype villain.
We need to find the right female villain to equate him to. It's what he is. He's more akin to a female villain.
Shein.
Even at you know
Alicia from Australia,
like you mentioned, you messed with the wrong queen or something like that.
Right,
Alicia was more like a guy. Like that girl was muscle. She was intimidating.
Yeah, but she did the finger wag. She gave a finger wag during that season,
which
you could definitely see Colton doing.
It's a matter of time.
Indeed. I have to say as dysfunctional as it's interesting. The guy's tribe actually seems fairly dysfunctional. Like,
it's loosely organized.
It's very loosely organized, which actually maybe is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I think it's gonna be good. I think they're gonna be able to like get it down to like a trustworthy group that should do well.
Yeah.
You know, they've kind of blown open the original alliances now, and I think the people who know, I want to see like a Jay and a Jonas and like. You know, I want to see, like, those two guys come together because I think they have a lot to offer.
Yeah, what I see coming out of that tribe, if I was picking five guys to make the merge, I see Jay, Bill, Jonas, Leaf and one of the Zans.
I don't know anything about Leaf. What do you know about Leaf?
Hey, when you don't know something about them, that's usually a good sign.
That's what's part of my horse consideration.
Right. So
the fact that he laid so low.
Right.
He's doing... not physically, Chris.
Oh yeah, because I'm the one who is casting these things last time.
But yeah, no, the fact that he is laying low is obviously, hopefully, in his favor, and not like in a laying low in a Dan from New Jersey kind of way from a couple seasons ago. Like he was just laying low because he actually wasn't playing.
Dan, the guy who
the man who mouth kisses his son for a moment.
The alligator shoes guy mouth kisses the sun. Oh, you conjured images there I did not need. I see probably one of the Zans, probably Troy Zan.
Troy.
Going with, yeah, and then
Troy,
like I said,
Jay, Jonas, Bill, Leaf.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I see those five emerging. Mike is probably the next one out. And then
that's so clueless.
And then they turn to the and then they turn on their quote unquote own. Although,
I would propose turning on him next time.
Who?
You know, get six guys. Colton.
Yeah.
You know, there's eight of them. Get six guys. Three of you vote for Colton. Three of you vote for the other guy.
Yeah. So are we in agreement? The next three out in order go Mike, Colton, Tarzan.
I would like that, yeah, because I think that gives the guy tribe the best.
It certainly makes the most sense, and I think that's how it'll play out. I have a feeling.
All right.
You know, the only tough part about getting Colton out will be that, you know, dodging the idol there. You know, maybe it ends up being, Mike, Tarzan, Colton, where they split votes to make Colton play the idol. If he and if he doesn't, then he's gone. And if he does, then they get him out on the next time.
Yeah. We will find out.
We will.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Yes.
Chris, what is our online presence?
We are available on Twitter. The handle is @tribalpodcast. And the email address is podcast@tc.vanb.net.
Once again, thanks for joining us for another immersive discussion, and I will see you, and Chris and I will see you next week. Thanks.